A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been thinking about text expansion on mobile. Not the basic type less pitch everyone knows, but the harder question, how do you build a snippet library that actually makes you smarter, not just faster? He writes in with a pretty detailed set of questions, so let me read this out. He says, I've recently started using an excellent Android app called Text Expander. At a basic level, these tools are useful for frequently typed things. Your zip code, phone number, email, mailing address, anything you find yourself typing repeatedly or have trouble remembering. You type a short abbreviation and it expands into the full text. But one of the more powerful uses is for longer templates. You can create snippets that expand into multiple paragraphs, and many support dynamic fields, current date, time, contact names, clipboard contents, cursor placement, and other contextual information. Here's the thing I want to dig into, and I think it's the right question. These tools provide the most value when you proactively think about what would actually save you time before you need it. That's surprisingly difficult as a mental exercise. You often don't realize what would make a great snippet until you've typed the same thing several times. So he asks, if you were designing a text expansion snippet library specifically for mobile, what categories of snippets would you recommend? Which ones provide the highest day-to-day value? He's especially interested in creative uses that take advantage of dynamic fields rather than just static text. Beyond addresses and canned replies, what are the less obvious high-leverage snippets? Templates that improve thinking, decision-making, note-taking, journaling, communication, task management, AI prompting. The whole range. And finally, what's the broader philosophy for building and maintaining a really effective snippet library over time? How do you recognize automation opportunities? And what separates a genuinely useful snippet from clutter? Okay, so today we're going to build that snippet library from scratch. And we're going to start with a question most people skip. What should you actually automate?
The thing that jumps out at me right away is that Daniel's already identified the core problem. Text expansion is mechanically simple. You type a short string, it becomes a long string. The difficulty is entirely in the recognition, knowing what to automate before you need it. And on mobile specifically, this is more valuable than most people realize, because on-screen keyboards are slower. The average typing speed on glass is about 35 to 40 words per minute versus 70 plus on a physical keyboard. Every keystroke you skip on mobile is worth roughly double what it's worth on desktop.
So the friction tax is higher. That makes the payoff steeper.
And it also changes what kinds of snippets make sense. On desktop, you might tolerate a longer trigger because you type it faster. On mobile, the trigger itself needs to be short and easy to reach. We'll get to trigger design in a bit, but the point is, mobile isn't just a smaller desktop for this. It's a different environment with different constraints. The app Daniel mentioned, Text Expander for Android, handles this well. It supports dynamic fields like date, time, clipboard, and cursor placement, and it integrates at the keyboard level so you're not switching apps to use it.
So let's frame this properly before we dive into examples. I think there are three layers of snippets, and most people never get past the first one.
Go on.
Layer 1 is static replacements. Your address, your email, your phone number. You type a short code, it expands to a fixed string. Useful. Table stakes, not interesting. Layer 2 is dynamic templates. Same idea, but the expansion includes fields that fill themselves in. Today's date, whatever's on your clipboard, and crucially, cursor placement so you can jump through the template and fill in the blanks. This is where the time savings actually become material. And layer 3, this is where Daniel's question lives, is process snippets, templates that don't just save keystrokes, but shape how you think, a decision log that forces you to articulate your criteria, a daily review that structures your reflection. These are the ones that make you better at what you do, not just faster.
That third layer is where I get excited. Because you're right, most people stop at addresses and signatures, and those are fine, they save you maybe 30 seconds a day. But a well-designed process snippet can save you from making a bad decision. That's not a typing improvement, that's a cognition improvement.
I'd argue the best snippets do both. The structure itself reduces cognitive load. You're not holding the template in your head, so you can think about the content instead.
Right? So let's get into the mechanics first, because the dynamic fields are where the magic happens, and then we'll build up to the process snippets. Sound good?
Let's do it.
On mobile, Text Expander for Android gives you a few key dynamic fields. You've got date and time in various formats. Short date, long date, day of week, time with seconds, whatever you need. You've got clipboard content, which is surprisingly powerful. It means you can copy something, trigger a snippet, and the snippet wraps your clipboard content in a template. You've got cursor placement, which lets you define where the cursor lands after expansion. And if you use multiple cursor placeholders, you can jump between them sequentially. Some implementations also support contact name lookups, though that varies by platform.
The cursor jumping is the thing that turns a static block of text into an actual form you fill out. Without it, you're just pasting and then tabbing around to find your fields.
Let me give you a concrete example. Say you take a lot of meeting notes on your phone. You could create a snippet with the trigger semicolon, MNN, that semicolon for the prefix, MN for meeting notes. When you type that, it expands to something like meeting colon space, then a title placeholder, then a new line, date colon, followed by the current date dynamic field, new line, attendees colon, followed by the clipboard field, because you copied the attendee list before triggering, new line, action items colon, followed by a cursor placement field. So the expansion fills in the date automatically, pastes whatever was on your clipboard, and leaves the cursor blinking right at the action items line where you actually need to start typing.
That's maybe, what, 8 keystrokes replaced by 3? And you didn't have to remember the date or retype the attendee list.
And you didn't have to think about the format. The template is consistent every time. When you look back at meeting notes from 3 months ago, they all have the same structure. That consistency is worth almost as much as the time savings.
Let's talk trigger design before we go further, because this is where mobile users especially can shoot themselves in the foot. If your trigger is a common letter combination, you'll get accidental expansions constantly.
The standard advice, and I think it's right, is to use a punctuation prefix. A semicolon, a backslash, a period, something you'd almost never type as the start of a word in normal writing. Semicolon is popular because it's accessible on most mobile keyboards without a modifier key. So your triggers become things like semicolon ad for address, semicolon dt for date, semicolon sig for signature. They're short, they're memorable, and they won't fire when you're typing the word address in a sentence.
The other advantage of a consistent prefix is that you can discover your own library. If you forget what snippets you have, you type semicolon and your keyboard app might show suggestions, or at minimum you know everything starts there.
Some people use a double comma prefix or a slash. The specific character matters less than the consistency. Pick one and stick with it across your entire library. The collision problem is real. I've seen people use things like adder without a prefix, and then they can't type the word address without it expanding mid-word. Infuriating.
So that's the plumbing. Let's get to the library itself. You mentioned static replacements are table stakes, but we should name them so people have the foundation. What's your list?
The obvious ones, email address, phone number, mailing address, zip code, but also things people forget, your spouse's phone number, your kid's school address, your bank account number for forms, your frequent flyer number, anything you have to look up or copy paste from somewhere else. Those are pure time savers, no thinking required. Create them, use them, move on.
I'd add boilerplate replies. If you find yourself typing the same email or message more than a few times, thanks for reaching out. I'll get back to you within 24 hours, or the delivery window is between 9 and 5. Please have someone available to sign. Those are snippets. On mobile, typing a polite but formulaic reply is painful. A snippet turns it into 3 keystrokes.
Error messages and status updates too. If you're in a technical role, having snippets for common things you tell people. The build is failing because of a dependency conflict. I'm looking into it. Sage you from thumb typing the same explanation to 5 different people.
But that's all layer 1. Let's get to the dynamic stuff that actually changes how you work. You mentioned the meeting notes template. What else?
The stand-up update is probably the single highest value snippet I can think of for anyone in a team environment. Trigger semicolon, SU. It expands to yesterday colon, cursor jump 1, new line, today colon, cursor jump 2, new line, blockers colon, cursor jump 3. You type the trigger, it drops you into the first field, you type what you did yesterday, you hit a key or tap to jump to the next field, fill in today's plan, jump again, list blockers. Done. 10 seconds instead of a minute of formatting and remembering what the 3 categories were.
And you never forget to mention blockers because the template won't let you.
That's the structure. As discipline point again. The template is doing more than saving keystrokes. It's enforcing completeness.
I want to pause on something here. You said hit a key or tap to jump between fields. How does that actually work on mobile?
It depends on the app implementation. Some use a special key on the keyboard, some use a gesture, some just place all the cursor fields in sequence and you tap through them. Text Expander for Android supports what they call fill-in fields. You define placeholders in the snippet, and when it expands, the first placeholder is selected and ready for typing. You fill it in, tap a next button, or use a keyboard shortcut, and it moves to the next one. The exact mechanism varies, but the effect is the same. You're filling out a form without leaving your keyboard.
Okay, so we've got meeting notes and stand-up updates. What's next?
Let me give you one that I think is underrated, the email handoff. You're on your phone, you need to send someone a piece of information that's in another app. The snippet trigger is semicolon, FWD. It expands to, hey comma, just forwarding this for your reference colon, new line, clipboard content, new line, let me know if you need anything else, period. Then cursor placement for your name or signature. You copy the thing you want to forward, switch to your email or messaging app, type semicolon, FWD, and the whole message is composed with the copied content embedded in the middle.
That's clever because the clipboard field isn't at the beginning or end. It's sandwiched in a social wrapper that you'd otherwise have to type around.
And on mobile, switching between apps to copy-paste and then type framing text is annoying. This collapses it into copy, switch, 3 keystrokes, send.
Alright, let's move to layer 3, the process snippets. This is where I think Daniel's question gets really interesting. Snippets that improve thinking.
The decision log is my favorite example here. Trigger semicolon DEC. It expands to decision colon. Cursor, new line, context colon, clipboard, new line, options considered colon, new line, dash cursor, new line, dash cursor, new line, criteria colon, new line, dash cursor, new line, dash cursor new line, dash cursor new line, outcome colon, new line, outcome colon, new line, date colon, current date.
Wait, walk me through what happens when you use this.
You're facing a decision. You copy whatever context you have, an email thread, a proposal, whatever. You type semicolon DEC. The template expands with the date auto-filled, the context pasted in, and the cursor sitting at the decision line. You state what you're deciding. Then you jump through the options and criteria fields, listing them out. The structure forces you to separate what you're choosing between from how you're evaluating the choices. Most people mush those together in their head. This template won't let you.
So the snippet is doing what a good manager or coach would do, asking what are your options and what are your criteria.
And the date stamp means you can look back later and see when you made the decision and what you knew at the time. That's valuable for retrospectives. Did you make the right call given what you knew then, regardless of how it turned out?
I'd add one field to that template, a confidence level. Just a quick high, medium, low at the top. Because the decisions where you were highly confident and wrong are the ones worth studying.
That's a good addition. You could even make it a cursor jump field with a default of medium, so you have to consciously change it.
What about journaling and reflection? Daniel mentioned that specifically.
The daily review is powerful. Trigger, semicolon, DR. expands to date colon current date new line three wins colon new line one period cursor new line two period cursor new line three period cursor new line one lesson colon cursor new line one thing to improve colon cursor. You type the trigger and you're immediately prompted to do a structured reflection. No staring at a blank page wondering what to write.
The blank page is the enemy of journaling. A template that asks specific questions is the difference between writing something useful and writing nothing.
And on mobile, this is especially valuable because you can do it in 2 minutes while you're waiting for coffee. The friction is low enough that you might actually do it daily.
Let me throw one into the mix that I think most people don't consider, the next action snippet for task management. This is straight out of getting things done methodology. Trigger semicolon, NA. Expands to project colon cursor new line next physical action colon cursor new line due date colon cursor new line waiting on colon cursor. The key field is next physical action, not work on the report, but open the spreadsheet and update the revenue numbers. The specificity is the point.
That's a great one. And it connects to something Daniel mentioned. AI prompting, because the same principle of structured specificity applies there too. A vague prompt gets a vague answer. A structured prompt gets a useful answer.
So what would an AI prompt snippet look like?
Trigger semicolon, AI, expands to act as colon, cursor, new line, context colon, clipboard, new line, task colon, cursor, new line, constraints colon, new line, dash cursor, new line, dash cursor, new line, output format colon, cursor. You copy whatever background material you have, type semicolon AI, and you're immediately building a prompt that specifies role, context, task, constraints, and output format. That's the difference between write me a blog post about text expansion and act as a technical writer, here's the research, write an 800-word explainer aimed at software developers, don't use jargon without defining it, output in Markdown.
And you don't have to remember to include all 5 elements every time. The snippet remembers for you.
And as AI assistants become more integrated into phones, which is happening right now, mid-2026, having a library of prompt templates that you can trigger from anywhere becomes powerful. You're not just saving typing, you're improving the quality of every AI interaction.
Let's talk about the invisible snippets, the ones that prevent errors rather than save time.
The bug report template is the classic, trigger, semicolon, bug. Expands to title colon, cursor, new line, steps to reproduce colon, new line, one period, cursor, new line, two period cursor, new line, three period cursor, new line, expected behavior colon, cursor, new line, actual behavior colon, cursor, new line, device slash OS colon, clipboard. If you're reporting bugs from your phone, this ensures you never forget the steps to reproduce or the device information. Incomplete bug reports are a huge time sink for engineering teams.
And the clipboard field for device info is smart. You can set up a separate snippet that expands to your device model and OS version. Copy it, then trigger the bug report snippet.
The same principle applies to client communication. If you're in a regulated industry or just want to be careful, a client email snippet can include a legal disclaimer, your contact information, and a reminder about confidentiality. All things you might forget if you're composing from your phone in a hurry.
I'd add one for meeting scheduling. Trigger semicolon, SCH. Expands to, hi comma cursor, new line, I'd like to schedule a meeting to discuss. Cursor, new line, duration colon 30 minutes. Cursor, new line, my availability colon, and then you can either use a clipboard field for your availability or have a separate snippet that lists your standard slots. The point is, you're not composing the scheduling email from scratch every time.
We've covered a lot of specific snippets. Let's step back and talk about the philosophy Daniel asked about. How do you recognize opportunities? How do you build and maintain this library over time?
I think the best heuristic is what I'd call the friction audit. Pay attention to moments where you hesitate, not where you type slowly, where you stop and think about format, or structure, or what comes next. That hesitation is a signal. It means you're doing cognitive work that a template could do for you.
That's a really good framing. The other one, and Daniel alluded to this in his prompt, is the 3x rule. If you type the same thing 3 times, it's a snippet candidate. not necessarily a snippet yet. You still have to decide if it's worth the cognitive overhead of remembering the trigger, but it goes on the candidate list.
I'd modify that slightly. 3 tons in a week, definitely. 3 tons in a month, maybe. 3 tons ever, probably not. Frequency matters because the trigger has to earn its place in your memory.
Fair. And that connects to the maintenance philosophy. Snippets should be treated like code. They need versioning, or at least a changelog in your head, and they need pruning. I recommend a quarterly review. Look at your snippet list. Delete anything you haven't used in 30 days. Update anything that's stale. And look for patterns. Are there new things you've been typing frequently that don't have snippets yet?
The pruning is the part people skip, and it's the part that kills you. A cluttered snippet library is worse than no library at all, because you can't remember your triggers, you get accidental expansions, and you stop trusting the system. 10 great snippets beat 100 mediocre ones.
I'd say start with 5 to 10 high-value snippets. Use them for a week. Get the muscle memory. Then add more as you notice friction points. Don't try to build a comprehensive library on day one. You'll create snippets for things you don't actually type that often, and they'll just clutter the list.
What would your starter kit be? If someone's listening and wants to build their first 5 today.
Email address, mailing address, and phone number. Those are non-negotiable. They'll pay for themselves in a day. Then the meeting notes template with date and cursor placement. Then the stand-up update if you're in a team that does stand-ups, or the daily review if you're not. That's 5. If you want a 6th, the decision log. Start there.
I'd swap the stand-up update for the email handoff if you do a lot of mobile forwarding. The point is, pick the ones that match your actual daily friction, not the ones that sound impressive.
One more thing on the philosophy side. There's a temptation to make snippets for everything. Resist it. A snippet is worth creating only if the time saved over its lifetime exceeds the time to create it, plus the cognitive cost of remembering it exists. For a lot of one-off things, just typing it's faster.
The cognitive cost is the hidden variable. Every trigger you add is one more thing competing for space in your procedural memory. If you can't recall the trigger when you need it, the snippet might as well not exist.
That's why the consistent prefix matters so much. It reduces the search space. If you know all your triggers start with semicolon, you can type semicolon and scan the suggestions, or at least you know the namespace. It's the same principle as organizing a file system. Flat and searchable beats, deeply nested and forgotten.
Alright, so what do we do with all this? Let me pull out the practical playbook.
Go for it.
Step 1. Do a friction audit. Spend a day noticing every time you pause to think about format or structure while typing on your phone. Write those down. Step 2. Apply the 3x rule to your recent typing history. What if you type repeatedly in the last week? Step 3. Build 5 to 10 snippets from that list using a consistent punctuation prefix and include at least 2 that use dynamic fields, date, clipboard, or cursor placement. Step 4. Use them for a week without adding anything new. Let the muscle memory develop. Step 5. Schedule a monthly review. Delete unused snippets, update stale ones, and add new ones based on what you've actually been typing.
Step 6. This is the one most people miss. Look for opportunities to turn static snippets into process snippets. Your address snippet is fine, but a decision log or a daily review template changes how you think, not just how fast you type. That's where the real leverage is.
The dynamic fields unlock this. Without cursor placement and date stamps, a decision log is just a block of text you have to edit. With them, it's a form you fill out. That difference matters.
Before we wrap, I want to flag something. As AI assistants become more capable on mobile devices, text expansion is going to evolve. Right now, a snippet expands to static or semi-dynamic text. In the near future, snippets could become what I'd call macro prompts, triggers that kick off multi-step AI workflows. You type semicolon SU, and instead of just expanding to a template, it queries your calendar, your task manager, and your recent messages, then generates a draft stand-up update for you to review and send.
The snippet becomes an interface to an agent, not just a text replacement.
The people who've already built the habit of recognizing automation opportunities, the people doing friction audits and building snippet libraries now, they're going to be best positioned to take advantage of that shift when it arrives.
That's the forward-looking question to sit with. What's the one snippet you wish you'd created months ago? If you're listening, send it to us, showatmyweirdprompts.com. We might feature it in a future episode.
If you haven't started your snippet library yet, start today. Even one good snippet, a meeting notes template, a decision log can save you hours over a year, not to mention making your thinking sharper along the way.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. This has been My Weird Prompts. Leave us a review if you're finding the show useful. It helps other people discover it. We'll be back soon.
See you then.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.